You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Familiar passage of scripture found in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. We will begin reading at verse 28 and conclude at the end of the chapter, but we're going to be focusing our attention on verse number 31. When you have it, just say amen. Reading there from the King James Version, you will find these words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ought to be able to open the doors of the church right now with that. God has done so much for us. Again, our thought this morning is coming from verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to meditate on the thought this morning. Always take God into account. Always take God into account. If God be for us, who can be against us? It is sometimes difficult for me to understand that in this day and age that there are still men and women who leave God out of their lives. It boggles the mind. It is difficult to comprehend how God is so easily and so summarily dismissed. My brothers and sisters, God must be included in our lives. He must be included in all our living, in every area of our lives. God must be counted in. In every nook and cranny, in every aspect, in every part, in every place, in every crevice, in all our habitation, God must be included. He must be counted in. You see, for we were not created to live this life without God. And I want to tell you this morning that everything is different when you stop to take God into account. When you allow God in your life, I'm a witness that life changes. When you realize and make sure that God is part of the equation, when God is part of the calculation, it will make all the difference. Not a difference, but all the difference in your life. In any trying situation, in any problem, God must be taken into account. If God be for us, who can be against us? In every predicament, in every trial, in every crisis, in every jam, and every fix you find yourself in, God must be taken into account. Always take God into account. In every sickness, in every distress, in whatever trouble you find yourself in, in whatever danger you may find yourself in whatever entanglement you may find yourself in. Let me put it this way, in whatever mess you might find yourself in, you ought to learn this one important lesson: to always take God into account. It ain't never over till God says is over. All I'm trying to tell you this morning, if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul here writes in this book of Romans to the church at Rome. He writes, first of all, to introduce himself and to give the Christians in Rome a sample of his message before he arrives in Rome. So the book is written to the Christians at Rome and to believers everywhere. Paul presents the facts of the gospel and then declares his allegiance to it. In the very first chapter, he writes that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I think the choir just got through singing something about some power. Yeah, there's power in the name of Jesus. Paul then presents an airtight case for the lostness of humanity and for the necessity of God's intervention. For he tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's good news. Not fake news, that's good news. And the good news is that this salvation that Paul talks about, this salvation that Paul presents to us, is available to all. Everyone can be saved. We can be saved simply by having faith in what God has presented to us, and that is His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Always take God into account. And I want to just testify this morning, if I may, just for a moment, that there were times in my life that I didn't always take God into account. You know, I was raised in Sunday school. At least my mother made us go to Sunday school when we were young. I confess, sometimes I skip. I take that Sunday school money and go to the corner store and buy some candy or do something with it, but I didn't always make it to Sunday school. But I got enough to know that if I ever got into a situation where it seemed like I just couldn't make it anymore, I could call on the name of Jesus and He would come and see about it. And there was a time when I had gone off to school, I felt that God had abandoned me, and I was angry with God, and I said to God, well, I'll fix you. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there in the world, and I'm going to have myself a good time, and when I get ready, I'll come back to you. Well, I don't need to tell you all the details about the next 10 years of my life, but by the time those 10 years over, I was ready to come back to Jesus simply because I had not taken God into account. There were those who had predicted that I wouldn't live to be 25 years old. But I'm here to tell you that God has the last word. And you need to learn always to take God into account. Don't put anything past God. I called on Him, and I was just reminded April 7th, 1981, it's been 37 years that God came to see about me. And sometimes I've been up and sometimes I've been down, but I'm still on the battlefield trying to do all I can for the Lord. There were those who had counted me out, but they hadn't counted taking God into account. God has the last word. It's God who's able to deliver us even from the utmost. The psalmist says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He saved me from all my trouble. Well, I could sing that same song, for that's what the Lord did for me. That's why I understand every day a little bit more about God's amazing grace, His undeserved favor, His loving kindness. Every morning, there are new mercies that I see. God is good, I tell you, and He's good all by Himself. My brothers and sisters, never count God out, but always take God into account. Let me move on to this chapter that is part of our text this morning. Paul has followed his normal format in the early parts of his works. He always teaches doctrinal lessons, and then in the latter part, he talks about application. Here in the 8th chapter, he starts off by saying, there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit, those who belong to God. And so he's not talking to folk who are out there in the world, but he's talking to the church. He's talking to believers just like you and I. He's trying to give us some wisdom and some understanding and some confidence as we walk this journey. We're not by ourselves. And so Paul lets them know that, again, if any man be in Christ, you got to be in Christ. You got to have God's Holy Spirit in your life. And you got to be under the influence, under the power, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's who he's talking to. He ain't just talking to anybody now. He's talking to those who know that they belong to God. And Paul gives us several things in our text that I think will be helpful for us as we go along this journey. And I pray that something that we say in pointing out these things will help you in some kind of way. But Paul mentions three basic things that I want to bring to your attention this morning. The first thing that he says that if you take God into account, if you always take God into account, he says that God is working all things out for your good. Verses 8 through 31, and we know, not that we think that, not that we hope that, not that we even guess that, but we know. Every child of God knows that whatever thing comes our way, God is still working it out for our good. They're not all good, but God is still working it out for our good. In the end, it'll be for our good. For God's glory, but it'll be for our good. And so we need to remember again that when we always take God into account, he's always working on our behalf. He never stops working. He's always got us on his mind. And he's working it out for our good. Secondly, when we always take God into account, I want you to know this morning that we are more than conquerors. We're victors already. We might be catching it from every side, but right now we've already got the victory. We can already shout. We don't have to wait until the battle is over. We can shout right now. If God be for us, who then can be against us? We got to always take God into account. And thirdly, when we always take God into account, we are assured that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that a blessing? That's shouting material right there. We shall never be separated from the love of God. And I know I already read it this morning, but if you don't mind, I just want to read it again. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep before the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I looked for my name in that scripture one day, and I found out it wasn't there. They told me that I couldn't even mess this thing up. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's good news this morning. When we always take God into account. I'm getting ready to take my seat, but there's just a little bit more that I want to share with you. When we look through the scriptures, there are so many examples of the saints of old who took God into account and were able to do great things. When I look back through my Bible, I think about Abraham and how he left his home in Ur of the Chaldees and set out for a land that he didn't know where. But he took God into account. Thought about Isaac and all that God was able to do through him, and Joseph and all of the saints of old, Joshua and God's servant David. David could never have slain Goliath if he had never taken God into account. My brothers and sisters, you got to always take God into account. God is able to fight your giants if you take him into account. I don't know what you might be going through this morning. It might be some financial difficulty. It might be some sickness or whatever it might be. You got to learn always to take God into account. But when I think about all those saints of old, how God had worked things out in their lives, how he had made a way out of no way. When their backs were against the wall, God had delivered them from all types of situations simply because they trusted in him. They took him into account. That's all we got to learn how to do. When our backs are against the wall, when you got nowhere to turn to, I tell you, you can always look up to God and he'll hear your cry and he'll deliver you from all your troubles if you take God into account. But when I look through the scriptures, there's one person that I want you to think about when you start thinking about taking God into account. That one person is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of time put on a robe of flesh, traveled down to this old wicked world through 42 generations. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He had taken God into account. He went around doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. But he did all of these things for you and for I. He was rich, but he became poor on our account. And for all the good that he did, one Thursday he was betrayed of men. He was led from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But I come to tell you this morning, but by his stripes we're healed. They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Isaiah 52 and 14 says that they beat him until he was almost unrecognizable. They put a crown of thorns on his head, They took him out to Golgotha's hill. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. And he died one Friday for your sins and for my sins. They pierced him in the side, took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. Some counted him out, but they had not taken God into account. They counted him out that Friday night. They had counted him out that Saturday morning. They had counted him out that Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, because he had taken God into account. God raised him up from the dead. And because he lives, I'm not worried about what tomorrow might bring. I'm taking God into account. If God be for you, who can be against you? God plus one is a majority. He's more than the world against you. If you take God into account, you got to trust him. You got to believe in him. And you got to accept the only means to get to God, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. By faith. By trusting. And depending on God and not depending on yourself, you can be saved today if you would just try Jesus. God bless you. Take God into account.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.